Hey guys, how are you doing today? This is Javon, of course, and this is Sports Impact with Javon Mack. Hope you guys are having a good day so far. We've got a lot to talk about today. I know I've been gone for a little bit. It's been a lot of busyness, but your boy is back. So today we're going to be talking more basketball-centric, not March Madness, while we all know that's going on currently. It's going to be more focused on the NBA. The play-in is coming up in a couple of weeks. Then it's followed by the playoffs. And there's a lot of interesting changes that is going on in the league right now. So what we're really going to be talking about today, we're just going to be talking about the Western Conference, the Eastern Conference, some rises and falls in the league. And yeah, let's get started. So just to open up, there were some good amount of games yesterday in the league. We had about less than 10 games, and they were all pretty interesting. The Pelicans, they continued their dominance that they've had over the past few weeks. They're the fifth seed right now. They're really catching up on the heels of the LA Clippers, trying to steal home court advantage away from them. And I mean, people say like Zion healthy is a problem, and he's had injuries. I mean, he's had issues with his health so far in his career, but when he is on the court, the Pelicans are a dominant team. Even without Brandon Ingram, who's currently dealing with injuries, they've still remained one of the better teams in the league, a top offensive team, a top defensive team. They got Herb Jones, you know, they got some wing depth, and that really has helped them be a two-way team. You know, a lot of these teams in the league nowadays are more offensive-centric, like the Sacramento Kings or the Indiana Pacers. But what makes the Pelicans so different is their ability to play both sides of the ball. You know, you got Juan Toscano-Anderson. Even though he's a smaller guard, he can still make big defensive plays. We saw that in the playoffs a few years back against Chris Paul and his Phoenix Suns. This Pelicans team, they're a dark horse, and I really think they have a chance to win a championship. They played Detroit. You know, this has been a bad season for the Pistons all year. Like, Cade Cunningham has dealt with injuries, even when he's on the court. Wiseman, Jaden Ivey, they have not figured things out. Things with coach aren't going well. They've been in shambles, but hopefully, you know, they get a good draft pick. Even though this draft isn't, you know, insanely talented, they get a guy that fits them the best. Then the second game we had was the 76ers and the LA Clippers. This was the first game all season that the 76ers, without Joel Embiid, have led from the beginning of the game to the end of the game. It was full dominance. I mean, you had Tobias Harris leading the way at 24-4-4. He's been a pretty solid role player, as he's been the past few years for them. Maxey has continued. I mean, he's been playing well. He's an elite player. He's becoming a star in this league. And the Clippers, you know, it's a surprising loss for them. You know, they have Harden, they have Kawhi, and they lose a game like this at the home against a hampered 76ers team. It's really surprising. Also, we saw, if you know, a little bit of continuation of the Kelly Oubre, Paul George beef that's been going on the last few years. But yeah, the Clippers, they lose another one. They haven't been amazing the last 10 games. 5-5, pretty average. But with the New Orleans Pelicans being 8-2 in the last 10 games, and only a half game back, the Clippers need to step it up like they did earlier this year. Then we had the Cavaliers play the Heat. The Cavaliers, ever since Donovan Mitchell has gotten hurt, they went on that run earlier this season, but they've fallen down the standings. They're still at number three, but they're only half game above the New York Knicks and only one game above the Orlando Magic. And, you know, when the Cavs are healthy, which they haven't been all year, they've shown they can be a good two-way team. They've got, you know, Mitchell and Garland on offense. They got shooters like Max Strus, you know, Dean Wade. But then at the same time, they're pretty good defensively with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. Without their leader, though, they took a pretty devastating loss today. Bam Adebayo, a good double-double of 15 points, 16 rebounds. And, I mean, that's just who Bam is. He's one of the best two-way players in the league, candidate for Defensive Player of the Year once again. And, I mean, the top four center in the game. Then after that, we had the Golden State Warriors play the Minnesota Timberwolves. We know the Timberwolves have been without Carl Anthony Towns the last few weeks, but it has not slowed them down. Anthony Edwards has been playing at an MVP level. He had 23-8-6 today, or yesterday, my bad. And Steph Curry, he had 31. The Timberwolves win yet again. The Warriors, after going on that 15-5 run, they have just fallen back down, going 4-6, last 10 games, losing two straight, and now are only one game above the Houston Rockets, who we will actually talk about a little later. And then we had the Thunder play the Bucks. You know, Giannis is back and he's more dominant than ever. They did a good job handling SGA, Jalen Williams, you know, Chet, Giddy. Giddy had a good game, 19-9-8, but the Bucks are just a different level when you have guys at the level of, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo. You got a guy like Damian Lillard. These are established superstars in this league. And when you got role players like Malik Beasley and Bobby Portis, the Bucks are a dangerous team. And while they haven't had the best, most ideal season, you know, they're still 46-25. They're still number two in the East. And come playoff time, they are still a threat. Then the final game, we had the Indiana Pacers, who just came off a win against the Golden State Warriors the other night, playing the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers have been on a run recently. They are now 39-32. They've separated themselves from the Warriors in the 9-10 seed and are 2.5 games ahead of them. The Anthony Davis had an insane game, 36-16. I mean, he's just been playing top 10 ball all season, and he's stayed relatively healthy. And Pascal Siakam, props to him. He had 36 points and 12 rebounds as well. And it was a high-scoring game, 150-145. I saw an ESPN or something like that earlier today. It's like the most points ever in a game LeBron's played that hasn't gone into OT, which is an ESPN stat, you know, of course. But it's just interesting that he's never played in a game with that high-level scoring. So now that we've gotten over, you know, recap of last night's games, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, like the Western Conference standings have been insane. The top 10 teams in the Western Conference are all pretty good. I mean, you even have the Rockets right under them at like 11 teams. The Rockets are a 500 team and they're sitting at the 11th seed. The Atlanta Hawks are the 10th seed in the Eastern Conference and they're 31-39. The Bulls are the 9th seed and they're 34-37. The Rockets are in the Western Conference at 35-35, and they're sitting outside of the play-in tournament. That is how stacked the Western Conference is. This is in a year with Wimby being a rookie and him not having too much talent around him, Ja Morant and Desmond Bane dealing with a whole bunch of injuries in Memphis. The Western Conference going forward is going to be a nightmare, and it is going to be insanely entertaining. You can just see in the standings, you know, like the Lakers and Warriors are just in the play-in race at the very bottom. These guys, LeBron and Steph, like, they're getting older, and you really see the young guys start taking over. As sad as it is to see, it is also pretty cool to see. So yeah, in the Western Conference standings, we have currently the Nuggets, Thunder, and Timberwolves, the top three seeds. One game separates those three. And then 4.5 games back are the Clippers, Pelicans, and the Suns. The Clippers are 5.5 games behind the Nuggets, and the Suns are 8. And then the Kings and Mavericks are half game back from the Suns. And then there's another gap between the Lakers and Warriors. This all year has basically been the Nuggets, Thunder, Wolves, and Clippers. Those four have been up top. As mentioned earlier, the Clippers have taken a little bit of drop, so they're more in the next tier. But it's really interesting how we're going to see the stack out. I think if Karl Anthony Towns was here, I'd feel comfortable with the Timberwolves ending up being the number one seed. But, I mean, they can still do it. Anthony Edwards has leveled up his game since Cat's been out. You know, SGA and the Thunder, they've been pretty good all year. Chet hasn't missed a single game. SGA has been consistent all year, you know, as he says. And you know the Nuggets, like, if they wanted to, they kind of coasted a little bit. They are elite. I mean, they have the best duo in basketball. They have Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Like, they're a highly coached team and highly efficient team, and they have the best player in the league. The Clippers, Pelicans, and Suns, I think it's going to stay similar to this. I can see the Pelicans taking that number four seed. The Suns have been a pretty bad fourth quarter team all year, but they've started to figure things out when they're healthy. And I've already thought a little bit gone to the Pelicans. And in the Kings and Mavericks, I mean, two high-powered offenses. Kyrie had one of the most insane game winners you'd ever see just last week. And the Kings, they've been good. Sabonis is arguably the most underrated player in the league right now. I mean, this dude is basically almost averaging triple-double, 20, almost 14, and 8, and he wasn't an all-star. But he's, you know, just outside of the top five when it comes to MVP voting. And he's really taken the leads of the Sacramento Kings team. He and Fox together have become such a dynamic duo, and really, I mean, hopefully with like Keegan Murray improving, Malik Monk being that, you know, that spark off the bench, the Kings could make a run in the playoffs. And then the last two teams, you know, that are in the play-in, the Lakers and the Warriors, as mentioned before, the Lakers are going to run. LeBron and AD, I mean, when they're healthy, there's not five duos I would take over that duo. D'Angelo Russell, the last month, has been playing elite ball. And the real issue right now is defense. I mean, they've kind of, well, I would say they really fixed it because they just let a team score 145 last night. But when Vando comes back, when Gabe Vincent comes back, you know, their defense will level up and they'll be a scary team in the, you know, the playoffs if they make it out of the play-in. And in the Warriors, you know, Steph and Draymond have been a dynamic duo, one commanding the offense, one commanding the defense. Kuminga's been a good, solid second option. Clay off the bench has worked wonders. Brandon Pods, you know, he's done a great job as a rookie. So has Trayce Jackson-Davis. But the way this team is looking right now, I mean, say they even stay in front of the Houston Rockets, I mean, I don't see them beating the Lakers, like, to be fully honest with you, because they have not looked good. And Steph said it the other day, he said, like, you know, what's the point of seeding if you're not playing well enough anyways? Like, who cares what the seeding is? It's a valid point. And then, you know, outside of the Rockets, none of the West really matters. But what I really want to talk about today was the Houston Rockets and Jalen Green. You know, the last 10 games, he has been playing high-level basketball. Who we thought he'd be coming out of high school. Jalen Green's one of the first players I started watching, like, in high school, and he was the best player in the country, and he had a lot of expectations coming to the Houston Rockets. You know, James Harden's out. You know, what you're going to do, Jalen? Like, you're going to be the next guy here in Houston. And people were disappointed because he wasn't efficient. He wasn't amazing his first couple years and to start this year. But the last 10 games, the Rockets are 9-1, creeping up on the Warriors. And you have this guy, Jalen Green, now averaging 27 points in these 10 games, you know, and he's doing it efficiently, 51% from the field, 41% from three. He's playing some really good, like, really good basketball. And if they keep this up, they can sneak in. I mean, they're doing this with their best player, Sengun. If he comes back with the way Jalen Green's playing, you know, you got Cam Whitner as a spark plug. You got Dylan Brooks defensively, Fred VanVleet. This is a solid team. Like, this is a good team. A lot of people had low expectations for them because they're like, they're just spending money on these role players, you know, to spin the cap, like, to, you know, but I mean, they could, I don't see them, you know, getting out of the plan, but if they surpass the Warriors, I think they would give the Lakers, you know, a tough match. And then, yeah, so that's basically all the West stuff. I think the West playoffs, no matter what 10 teams make it, I think it'll be some of the best, highest played basketball that we've ever seen. If I were to make a prediction who I have coming out of the West, it's the Nuggets. I mean, I just can't see a team really beating them. I think if anyone has a chance to knock off Denver, I think it'd have to be the Timberwolves because of their size with Gobert and Cat. Or, honestly, the Pelicans. They don't have insane size when it comes to height, but the fact that they have such defenders like Herb Jones and those guys on the perimeter, I think that would cause some issues for guys like Michael Porter Jr. You know, Aaron Gordon, even though he's not a big perimeter player, that still cause issues because of their length. And yeah, I think OKC, I think they have a lot of potential. I can see them winning a series, but I think I see them more as a future threat than a current threat. I think they could be something like the Sacramento Kings were last year or the Memphis Grizzlies were 2 years ago. But yeah, and I think the Clippers, I mean, I want to see Paul George win a ring. I want to see Westbrook win a ring. I want to see Harden win a ring. But, you know, they're not consistent, and you don't have guys you can truly rely on. I want to see Kawhi be healthy, but I just, the track record hasn't been there. And so, yeah, that's the Western Conference. If I had to pick today, like I said, you know, I'd have the Nuggets taking it there. Then the East, it's pretty interesting. As I mentioned before, the West is so much more competitive and so much better than the East. It's ridiculous. You have the Celtics at the number one seed. They're 11 games ahead of the number two seed. To put that into perspective, in the Western Conference, the Nuggets, the ninth seed is the Los Angeles Lakers. They're 11 games behind the Nuggets. So the 1-9 is 11 games. But in the East, the 1-2 is 11 games apart. That's how dominant the Celtics have been this season. You know, once they got the additions of Porzingis and Drew Holiday, with how good they've been the past few years, you just knew they'd be a different level of a threat. Two-way players all around. Drew Holiday can score, but he can defend. Tatum and Brown can score and defend. Derek White can score and defend. And then Porzingis can score and defend. Like, they're on a 9-game winning streak. None of the last 10 they've won. They've been 32-3 at home, 25-11 on the road. I mean, they've dominated, and I can't see any team in the East, unless, you know, Joel Embiid gets healthy, you know, Jimmy Butler does what he normally does in the playoffs. I really can't see this team getting dethroned. But with that being said, let's get into the standings. So we have the Boston Celtics, as I mentioned before, number one. The Bucks, you know, right under them in 11 losses behind. The Cleveland Cavaliers being 3 games behind them, 43-28. The Knicks being a half game behind them, 42-28. The Magic being a half game behind them at 42-29. And then you got the Pacers, Heat, and 76ers rounding out the top 8 seeds. And then the last two are being taken up by the Bulls and the Atlanta Hawks. So the East, unlike the West, isn't as competitive. You can see who the clear teams are in the Eastern Conference. And it's the same teams it's been the last, 5 years? Boston, Milwaukee, you know, Miami, and Philly. And even though Miami and Philly are further back in the standings, I know Miami waits to the playoffs to really start leveling up. And they picked up Terry Rozier. Like, they have guys that can, you know, do things. And the 76ers, I mean, they're being without Joel Embiid, but they're still 7 games over 500. And when he was there, they were a top 3 seed. The Cavaliers, can they make some noise in the playoffs? I don't really see it happening. I mean, I'm a big Donovan Mitchell guy, but I don't have enough faith in Garland or Mobley on the offensive end to help support him. And the Knicks, that's one team. That's my dark horse. Like how the Pelicans are my dark horse in the West, the New York Knicks are my dark horse in the Eastern Conference. You know, they haven't been healthy the last half of the season, but when Julius Randle comes back, people forget he was playing at an all-NBA level. OG Anunoby was a very solid role player, playing great defensively and offensively. And then when you have hustle guys like Dante DiVincenzo throwing in the occasional 20 to 30 point game, getting rebounds, playing defense, and you have Josh Hart playing full games and being able to, you know, he's got a couple triple doubles. He's just a solid role player. He's a great role player. He knows how to score when a team needs him to. He's an insanely impressive rebounder. And he's just a clutch player, and he's willing to play the amount of minutes that coach needs him to play, which, if you know anything about Thibodeau, he is going to play his guys. And you have this kid, Miles McBride, really coming out of, not, I wouldn't say coming out of nowhere, but he's leveled up, and he's excelled the last few games at helping Jalen Brunson when he needs offensive load. I think Jalen Brunson is one of those guys who can really take his game to the next level in the playoffs. I mean, we saw that even before he came to the Knicks when he took out Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz. You know, the few games that Luka missed, he was the number one option, and we saw that he was a star in the making. And so, yeah, I think the Knicks are a dark horse. The Cavs, I don't really see them as insane contenders. The Magic, I think the Magic are pretty underrated. I mean, 42-29, you got Paolo Banchero being one of the best young guys in the league already at such a young age, only his second year. Franz Wagner, I mean, he's a great second option. And you got both of your top two guys over 6'10". Like, that's really impressive. And you got those defensive guys like Jonathan Isaac, you know, Wendell Carter Jr. Jalen Suggs has been insane on the defensive side of the ball this year. One of the best perimeter guards. And he will make an all-defensive team. He will make an all-defensive team in his career. If it's not this year, he will make an all-defensive team. And so I think the Magic, I think they could pose a threat. Like, if the season ended today, they would play the Knicks. I think they could pose a threat. I think they could win a couple games. I would have the Knicks taking that in 6, but I think that would be a really good series. And, you know, they didn't have crazy expectations before this year. People thought they'd be like an 8 seed. But they're a 5 seed, which is very impressive. Then there's the Pacers. I mean, Tyrese Halliburton was playing at a MVP caliber level earlier this season. He hasn't been too great of late. I mean, I know he had that injury, but the last month and a half, I mean, his points per game on the season has declined to 20.5. He's still a great facilitator, and he's still a great leader of an offense, but his efficiency as well as, you know, scoring has dipped pretty greatly. And in, I mean, I mentioned earlier how Siakam had a good 36 points last night. He's been a good addition. It took him a little bit to, you know, fully adjust to playing alongside a guy like Tyrese, but, you know, they're a pretty good team. And I also really like Miles Turner. And it just sucks that Benedict Mathurin went out with that injury, because, I mean, he's one of their better scorers. And, I mean, losing that offense is really what they rely on. They're not a really good defensive team at all. And then we have the Miami Heat, who I briefly mentioned, you know, Terry Rozier they got now. Tyler Herro, I mean, he's a solid player, has had a solid season. Bam and Jimmy, that's where it is, man. That's where it rides. Wherever Bam and Jimmy take you, like, however well they play is how far you go. They can take you to a finals, or they can take you to, you know, a second round exit. And I'm not going to doubt this team after what I've seen. And I think they have more scoring than they've had in previous years. You know, Gabe Vincent was solid and Max Strus were good, but they didn't have Tyler Herro at all last year when they went to the finals. And then Terry Rozier is a 20-point-per-game scorer who's efficient too. So I think they could be a bigger threat this year, especially if they play Milwaukee in the first round. I mean, Milwaukee has had problems with, you know, Jimmy Butler since he's come to the league, especially with how bad Milwaukee's defense has been this year. Even with the addition of Doc Rivers, it hasn't been ideal. And Jimmy was giving guys like Drew Holiday issues last year. So, yeah, we'll see. And then the Philadelphia 76ers, again, I mentioned, you know, Joel Embiid playing at a – I mean, he was clear of everyone when it came to MVP. And he had that injury. But, yeah, hopefully he comes back soon. I think this team, I mean, if the season ended today, they play Boston, and I'd have Boston winning in like five games, because I don't think Embiid would get back to himself in time to really take on a team like Boston. And in the last two seeds, the Bulls, Coby White has had a really good, you know, season since Zach LaVine went out. I think he is the future of their team, and hopefully one day with Lonzo coming back, and if Zach LaVine doesn't get traded, maybe they could try running it one last time. And if not, I say, trade Lonzo, trade Zach LaVine, trade DeRozan, just throw it all, just trade it all, pick up picks, pick up good role players, assets, and build around Coby White, because I don't think he's going to be like a superstar, but I think he can be, I think he could be a fringe all-star, and with the amount of talent they have on their team that correlates to no winning, I think they should trade it as much as they can to contenders to get, you know, to get something from it, because eventually these guys are just going to leave. Anyways, and the last team, the Atlanta Hawks, are just eight games behind 500. We all know most of that's attested to Trae Young getting hurt. Even when he was healthy, they weren't elite, but, you know, they were better. They were around a 500 team, which is what they've been since he's been there, basically. Jalen Johnson has been pretty good this year. DeJounte Murray's been pretty good this year. They've been a solid team. I don't see them winning a single play-in game. I mean, they're going to make the play-in. They're 5.5 games over the Nets, so they're not going to fall off, but yeah. The Nets, you know, there's nothing really to say there. They've been a highly disappointing, you know, team to watch this year. I know Nets fans are disappointed. I mean, you think Cam Thomas is going to make that leap. He's averaging like around 20 points per game, but, you know, they don't. His points don't correlate to winning the way you'd expect it to. Mikal Bridges, you thought he'd make that jump this year after what you saw last year, averaging like around 25 once he joined the Nets. This year, he's been pretty disappointing. Not only offensively, but defensively, he has had a drop-off. And it's just overall, just the vibes with this team, you know, have not been good. I mean, they lost their coach. It's just not good there. And then you got the Raptors. They're on a 10-game losing streak. There's not much to say there. Scottie Barnes being gone. RJ Barrett, just thoughts, you know, thoughts for his brother that passed away, unfortunately. I mean, I know he's going through it, and I mean, he hasn't been there either, of course. So it's really just on Emmanuel Quickly, and I mean, let's be real, like, the Raptors are just not a good team. Then the last three seeds, I mean, I mentioned the Pistons briefly, the Wizards with Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma. I mean, if that's your duo, you don't expect to really win too many games. And there's the Hornets, who Brandon Miller, he has balled out, and he's been a top, let's say, five rookie this year. Top three, actually. I'll put him in top three. You know, LaMelo Ball, once again, has struggled with a significant amount of injuries, unfortunately. And hopefully we don't see that continue because, I mean, we know Lonzo Ball's career is basically, you know, falling down a hole the last few years. And you don't want to see that happen to a talent like LaMelo, because when he is on the floor, he does elevate the Hornets' level of play. And, yeah, those are the standings. And if I were to pick a team, I would pick the Boston Celtics. So my finals today would be the Celtics versus the Nuggets. I think that would be a great series. I would have the Nuggets winning in seven. As good as the Celtics are overall, I don't trust Tatum enough as a first option to, you know, lead them over a guy like Jokic. You know, like, Jokic has been here and done this. He just did it last year. He's the best player in the league. you know, Giannis is right behind him for me, but there's a significant gap between him and a guy like Tatum. And Jaylen Brown, I mean, I'm a big Jaylen Brown guy, but the way Jamal Murray elevates in the playoffs, I think he can match that and probably be better than Jaylen Brown will be. But yeah, that's all I wanted to talk about today. Just a little bit of, you know, getting back into the groove. I plan on really locking in, like having some more stuff come out for you guys soon. I really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And this is Sports Impact with Jovan Mack. Thank you for listening.